Meet Reed Lance Rosenthal, rancher, number one best-selling award-winning author, and unabashedly, unapologetically, on the right side of the outstanding issues of our generation. But don't try to fence him in. Sometimes his positions will surprise you, because Reed is definitely his own man, with his own opinions. You might love him, you might hate him, but you won't be able to stop listening. Step over to the right side with Reed.
Happy Saturday, folks. It's Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Lots going on this week, as you know. Going in a million different directions. This is going to be a short show. You know, I decided not to go into a bunch of detail and a bunch of stories and etc., etc., etc. It's going to be more philosophical, big picture. Because that's really where we're at. We're at the big picture. Even though the little dominoes that have to fall on the various routes to the big picture, whatever that finally is going to be, you know, they hold some interest, but they change day to day. I tell you something in this show, and 2 hours later, it's outdated. Upside down, inside out, right side up, going down. You know, it's kind of like repainting a wall. Just repaint it every hour to a different color. So what we're going to talk about this morning, I'm going to have my little historical story, which ties right in many different odd ways to what's going on right now in the United States. And we're going to talk very briefly about where all this morass of litigation, various routes of Trump to try and correct this fraudulent election, what you can do, some videos which you really, really, really must watch. I can tell you about them, but you need to watch them, because there's nothing I can say that's as powerful as watching them for yourself. And they're on the rightsideradio.com site. They're right under the audio bar of the show to make them easy. And there's some articles under family safety you should read also. You know, I've had many emails, people wanting to talk about what Biden's going to do and this and that. Look, we pretty much know what Biden's going to do. If Biden becomes president, and that's still an if, although the if looms larger with the passage of time. Time is not our ally. It is not our ally. We're going to talk a little bit about that this morning, too. And I'm going to exhort you again to take action. Open your checkbook. Take steps, write letters, make calls. This is your life. This is your property. And along the way here this morning, I think I'll be touching on a few subjects which will, even on a general basis. So let's get started. As you probably know, tomorrow, that would be Sunday, is December 6th. That would mark the 79th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. And just as a brief refresher, because we're all kind of familiar with Pearl Harbor, although maybe many of us are not familiar with the various real historical details. FDR, you know, Britain was getting its butt kicked by the Germans, the Blitzkrieg. Dunkirk had occurred. They had rescued some of the British and Allied expeditionary forces that were trapped at Calais by the German army. Quite a heroic feat, but that's not the topic of this historical story. It might be the topic of a future one. Fascinating. However, Britain wanted America in the war, and many feel, and many historical indices seem to indicate, that FDR thought America should get in the war for a whole bunch of reasons, I might add. Not just to stop totalitarian Japan and Germany and Italy, the evil Axis, you know, and at that time Russia, Germany's ally, but because he needed a way to get the United States out of the lingering economic depression that had started in 1929 and was really going nowhere. And that's because of FDR's democratic statism, central government, bigger government, government and collective theology, if you will. You know, FDR was FDR was a leftist, folks. He was a leftist. Yep. The New Deal and Social Security and a whole bunch of things. Work camps, you know, incarceration later on of the Japanese. I can go on and on. But on this particular morning, 79 years ago, while two Japanese peace envoys who had literally met the day before at the White House with FDR and his State Department, proclaiming the Empire of the Rising Sun's wish for peace, the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor. Carrier fleet snuck in unannounced. America was unprepared, its defenses were down, and basically immobilized, antiquated. I mean, peacetime footing all the way along, and not alert. And you know, the funny thing is that there was a forward marine outpost on the island of Oahu, and they saw the planes coming in, and they didn't know really what they were. They thought it was maybe a returning flight of American planes, and they radioed in, and nobody really knew. You know, everybody was assuming that it was an American flight, but it was the first wave of Zeros coming in to strafe and soften up the target for the bombers. And of course, three waves of attacks came from the Japanese carriers that were commanded by Admiral Yamamoto, who, by the way, had a famous saying which I think applies to today's times too. I'll tell you about that in just a moment. But as you know, the destruction was catastrophic. America's Pacific Fleet was all but decimated. Virtually every battleship, except for the Missouri, which was later repaired, was destroyed on Battleship Road. They were parked like sitting ducks, kind of suspicious, you might say. I mean, who would park all their ships of the line together, moored, none at sea, defenseless, eyeless? You have to really think about that. There are no coincidences. 2,300 plus Americans died in that attack. A catastrophic number in those days. I mean, the country was more or less half the size of what it is now, population-wise. And 1,100 of those unfortunate souls died in the hull of the USS Arizona, which was, it basically had a bomb, a 500-pound bomb, dropped down its smokestack, broke its undercarriage, and it took on water and capsized, trapping most of the crew inside. They rescued some men from the top of the hull that was still, that had still stayed above the water. And by the way, two, as a little sidelight, two of those veterans still survive today. Isn't that amazing? What great lives. I'll have more on them on a future show because it's an amazing story. But the point of this story, and I can go into all sorts of details on Pearl Harbor, it's not my point. The point is the nation had been asleep for years. It was wallowing in its own economic woes. There was, even in those days, a push and pull between those who like federalism, that is, power to the states and to the people, and statism, power to the government and the collective. Later on, we would come to know that as socialism or communism. Did America look the other way? Or should we say, was America led to look another way by the hopeful intonations of peace in all the major newspapers of the day and on the radio, which were the sole means, or should we say the primary means of communication to the masses? Were they lulled to sleep by FDR, who kind of cleverly played his wish for peace, you know, postcard, shall we say, as often as he could? Why were the Marines out in that forward observation post unable to identify Japanese Zeros as opposed to American bombers? There's many questions still unanswered today about Pearl Harbor. Not how it happened, the mechanics are clear, but why it happened. How was America caught so flat-footed by a sneak attack on its very soul? You know, that's a question that we could ask ourselves today. Just as the Japanese announced their imperial tendencies, their imperial wishes, for almost a decade prior to the attack on Pearl Harbor, just as they made it clear that their wish to dominate the Pacific and, you know, basically the eastern half of the world with Germany taking the western half, why didn't we believe them? Were we so naive? Were we so preoccupied with our own day-to-day lives, our own little domestic turmoil, shall we say? Did we think it couldn't happen to us? Did we not think outside the box? And you could ask yourself the same questions about the attack on America, on the Republic today. And it's not just a domestic enemy attack. It's not just an attack by radical Islamists within the country and placed in the government by Barack Obama with his czars and shadow government. It's not just, you know, Marxism playing under the guise and cloak of racism, Black Lives Matter. It's not just anarchists who, along with radical Islamists and Black Lives Matter, each for their own ends, run around chanting defund the police, or Nancy Pelosi holding up stimulus funds while hundreds of thousands of small businesses crater and families are ruined, dreams are squashed, freedoms are rendered asunder by the heavy boot of radical communist folks. These are not Democrats, they are communists. Governors and mayors. There's a couple of articles under family safety that you should read about what that clown mayor of Los Angeles is doing with his lockdowns, and Newsom in California, and that moron in Louisiana, and the other moron in Carolina. It is, let's not forget Whitmer in Michigan. I mean, she's been slapped down by her own Supreme Court, and she still comes out with edicts which have already been ruled illegal. I mean, or Cuomo in New York. Or that gal in Maine. I mean, I can go down the list here. Connecticut, Maine, New York, Louisiana, of all places. It is. Why didn't we see this coming? I mean, the left has told us, particularly since Trump got into office and brought them out of the closet, they've told us what they want. They told us what their agenda is. They've told us what their goals are. And they've demonstrated time and time again, just as the Japanese did in their invasion of China and the islands, and, you know, vicious, nasty, kill as you go, cut a wide swath, use blood to create terror, use terror to create control, just as the Japanese did. But they were a foreign enemy. We have domestic enemies who have opened the gates for our foreign enemies. And those foreign enemies, Iran, particularly China, to a lesser degree, but still relevant, Russia, and a host of smaller countries that want their finger in the totalitarian pie, Serbia, for one of them. What is it about the American psyche that refuses to think that it can't happen here? What is it? Why are people asleep? Why are people always reacting rather than moving proactively? It's something we're going to discuss in a future show in the near future. And as for Biden, for all of you writing me emails wanting to know what Biden's going to do and da-da-da-da-da-da-da and what the effect's going to be, you know what? I'm not wasting any time on Biden right now till we know Biden's going to be president. And we don't know that yet, believe it or not. Forget what the press tells you and forget what all the leftist morons tell you and what they don't tell you, what they don't cover. The situation is still in doubt, as I said last week. And we're going to talk about that here in the next segment. But when it comes time, if it comes time, then we will spend an entire show on what Joe Biden, or should we say the cabal of communists and radical Islamists and CCP Red China prompters, along with other foreign actors, have been doing to get ready for their ascendancy to power and the steps they are taking to ensure, they think, that power will never be taken from them again, even though they are a minority of the country. And by the way, not a big minority, but a vocal minority. A minority that, like the Japanese, has, and the Chinese, by the way, the Red Chinese, who are our most formidable enemy, as I've said for, I think, the last 8 years, while everybody was crying, Russia, Russia, Russia. Totalitarian minds, leftist minds, control freak minds, are very set on their goals. They are focused. Nothing gets in their way. Not the lives of millions, not the happiness of tens of millions, not the success of hundreds of thousands of small businesses and their many, many, many millions of employees who no longer have a job. They don't care about that. Nancy Pelosi, in fact, admitted the other day that she was pleased that she had held up the stimulus bill because that hurt Trump and contributed to his defeat in the election. Never mind, the defeat is not complete yet. But this is the mentality you're dealing with. And of course, we have example after example after example after example of the hypocrisy of the control for thee, but not for me. You can go right down the list. I mean, there isn't a single totalitarian leftist governor or mayor that has not preached one rule and then broken it themselves and then lied about why they broke it or how they broke it or how sorry they are they broke it. It's it's disgusting, but more importantly, it's telling. Barack Obama, in his book Dreams from My Father, he told us what he thinks. He told us he was a radical Islamist. He told us he didn't like America. He told us that he was a globalist. He told us that he was a communist. And he still got elected twice. The second time probably with the aid of Dominion voting machines. But nonetheless, he got elected twice. And how about all the folks out there who've run around saying, you know, elections are secure and pretty secure in all their votes. And they're, number one, there was no voter fraud. And then there was not a lot of voter fraud. And then there wasn't widespread voter fraud. And now we're down to there wasn't enough voter fraud to swing the election. All of which is bogus. Let me bring you up to speed very quickly on what's going on. And I'm not going to go into details. I want to give you the big picture, because the big picture, literally, and the details especially, are changing hour by hour right now. Rudy Giuliani has made his cases to four states now, the last one being Michigan. Very compelling testimony and lots of it. These are huge hearings, 8 to 12 hours long. Witness after witness after witness. Some with videos, all with sworn statements. And testifying to every form of election fraud that I went over. I believe it was a show before last. I gave you a list. And, you know, I left some out because I wasn't clever enough to devise some of the forms of election fraud which were obviously employed. There's several videos that have come out of Michigan. Literally, people furtively and clandestinely handing off USB drives from like one person's pockets to slip in another to change the voting tallies. There's other videos. After some of these states locked down, this particular video I believe is in Michigan, could have been in any of them. It was in any of them, more or less. Where suitcases, not ballot boxes, suitcases under their desks were pulled out after everybody was sent home because they were, you know, stopping counting till early in the morning. Except some workers stayed behind and pulled out suitcases full of thousands, if not tens of thousands of ballots, and continued to tabulate them. Other people saw, some people filmed, people taking the same Biden ballots, stacks of 50 at a time, and running them through countless times in the machines. There's a number of precincts and counties and cities, and from what I understand, states, that don't balance. That means the number of registered voters and or the numbers of people who actually voted do not correspond to the amount of ballots. The ballots outnumber the voters. Now, that's kind of tough to do. In Georgia, 1.8 million ballots were mailed out. 2.5 million mail-in ballots were received. It's a 700,000 vote problem. They don't balance. You'll see a video. By the way, the video of this handoff of the USBs, you know, it kind of looks like either a drug deal or a, or, you know, a James Bond sci-fi flick. I have that video posted right under the audio bar, so you can find it easily. There's another video of the suitcases coming out after everybody had left and the ballots being taken from the suitcases. And that's under the audio bar. You need to watch those videos, folks. You need to make your own decision on what your eyes show you. You know, what you see and what you hear is not altered by what people want to you have seen or not to see, or what they have wanted you to hear or not to hear. It is what it is. You've probably by now heard the story of the USPS tractor trailer driver who checked his load because he thought the whole thing of having him run from New York to Pennsylvania, and I think he was supposed to go to Michigan also, to Pennsylvania, he just smelled a rat. And he checked his load and he found, in his words, between 144,000 and 288,000 filled out ballots in his truck that was dispatched by the USPS and who knows who above them from New York to Pennsylvania. And he was given all sorts of conflicting instructions on where to go and where to keep the trailer. And I mean, it just raised his antenna. And he parked his truck and tractor trailer with all these live filled out ballots in it and followed his instructions and stayed at a nearby motel or whatever it was. And when he came out in the morning a few hours later, the trailer with all the votes, with all the ballots, was gone. Hasn't been found yet. And you know, it's kind of funny because that was election night, November 3rd, going into the early morning of November 4th. Just when all these ballots suddenly appeared, it's when the suitcases were, and there's a video of that too, the suitcases were rolled into the election centers. It's when the suitcases were brought out from underneath desks when people were all supposed to be home and the counting had, quote unquote, stopped. It's all tied in. It was all part of a plan. This was well orchestrated all the way for at least 2 years, probably four. I told you about HB 1, the very first bill that we'll call it the AOC Congress in 2018, also elected by fraud, by the way. It was the very first bill that the House passed, which was all about mail-in voting and this and that and this and that and this and that. And then along mysteriously comes COVID from China, who really wants to see the Democrats in and really wants to see the Republicans and Trump out. And then COVID is used as the excuse to, implement the mail-in ballot scheme that they couldn't get passed in the normal way. I think you can see clearly that this was a plan. And it had many different tangents, from rerunning ballots multiple times, to the manufacture of ballots, to the interstate transport of ballots, whether they were legal ballots or illegal ballots, I don't know. But the bottom line is, there was a lot of hanky-panky. Giuliani has now presented his case, each case tailored to that state, witnesses relative to that state, in four states. I believe he's going to one more. Sidney Powell has filed some massive lawsuits with massive, massive attachments, affidavits, and I mean just... You talk about evidence, she has evidence up the wazoo. She's filed lawsuits in Wisconsin and Michigan and Georgia. Lynn Wood has filed a constitutional-based lawsuit in Georgia. Sidney Powell's is about overall election fraud and specifically computer election fraud, the changing of the tallies. I told you last week, I hinted at it, and I've now confirmed there was a raid by the DOD Special Forces, Army Special Forces, on a Black Ops site in Frankfurt, Germany, that was CIA run. And it happened to house the servers through which all the votes were tallied in 30 states, particularly the swing states. And I kept calling it SCIF last week, my mistake, but Skittle, the Spanish company that produces the results of these tabulated votes in Spain. Dominion, the hardware company, you know, the machine company, not the software, which is Smartmatic, and another. Suddenly their offices are closed down. In Toronto, their offices are closed down and their personnel have moved partly in with their neighbor, a Soros organization. Huh, must be a coincidence. They refused to show up. In fact, they were just plain no-shows despite being under subpoena at a Pennsylvania legislative hearing. I can go on and on down the line. Why don't we just say that the behavior, and of course, instead they offer vacuous denials, because that's Saul Alinsky's rules, you know. Deny, 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 then divert, 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 and then run, run, run. Saul Alinsky, perfect. So instead of showing up at hearings and defending themselves, or offering any proof that their machines are tamper-proof, they instead offer these vacuous denials. Oh, our machines are fine and they've never switched a vote in their entire existence. Whatever. You know, it's Goebbels. Remember my historical story? Repeat the big lie and repeat it often, and then people will believe it. Lynn Wood's lawsuit in Georgia is powerful. The Pennsylvania lawsuit, which is being led by one of the Pennsylvania state representatives, and I'm sure with, you know, much assistance by the Trump legal team, is slated for the Supreme Court, SCOTUS. It's been bounced by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. Big, big surprise. Not a surprise at all. And it's, you know, based on basic law. Only the legislature, according to Article 2.2, in fact, 2.2.1, if you really want to get specific, only the state legislatures can change the laws. But in Pennsylvania, the governor and the secretary of state, they didn't change the law because they can't change the law. They kind of did it through executive fiat. Now, here's what's really interesting. Time is not our ally. The safe harbor date is December 8th. That means that anything that is submitted to the Electoral College in terms of a state certification of the slate of Electoral College voters, if you will, electors, is considered a done deal and can't be reversed. That's the common perception. And some say it's codified, and, you know, if you read that particular federal statute, I'm not so sure it is, but that's going to be for SCOTUS to decide, because SCOTUS has accepted that case. And it's going to be a full hearing before the court. However, here's what's really interesting. Justice Alito, and I think his position he's made clear prior to this, Justice Alito scheduled that case for December 9th. Pennsylvania can reply to the plaintiff's complaint on December 9th. Basically, Pennsylvania, make it easy. They're claiming that they have this power, and, you know, the constitutional forces, shall we say, have waived all their rights because they didn't bring it before. It's basically what's called a latches argument. And the Pennsylvania Supreme Court struck down that lawsuit based on a laches argument. They never went into the merits of the claim. No, they're too cowardly to do that. So Alito has given the state till December 9th, one day after Safe Harbor. And the full court takes it up something like December 10th or 11th, just 3 or 4 days before the Electoral College on December 14th. Does that mean SCOTUS is like kicking this can down the road and they're going to rule that it's too late so they can't do anything? Or does it mean that SCOTUS is really interested and they're going to really take a big step and alter some major components of the Electoral College, such as the timelines and the dates? We'll have to wait and see. And there's several other lawsuits, one from Georgia. Lynn Wood's case will certainly go to the Supreme Court. Probably several of Sidney's will go to the Supreme Court. There's a host of other lawsuits being played out, particularly in Arizona. Rudy's testimony, and he's done a great job in these presentations, as have his witnesses. Highly credible. Many of them with backup, video or otherwise. They have the Pennsylvania State Legislature, the Georgia State Legislature, the Arizona State Legislature, I believe the Nevada State Legislature. I'll have to check on that. And the Michigan State Legislature actually holding hearings now and talking about perhaps electing their own slate of electors or, you know, taking some other step. But I don't know if these state legislatures have the cojones to do what really needs to be done. You can judge for yourself. Underneath the audio bar on therightsideradio.com is the link to the hearing, or should we say kind of the summation behind closed doors after the hearings on voter fraud in the Senate of the state legislature, the Senate Judiciary Committee in Georgia. Kemp, by the way, who I have never liked and who I more and more think is a crook on the take from the CCP, Raffenberger, I'm sure of, he's decided that he's called for. It's kind of funny how these governors, they make an edict on the change of rules on how voting will be done. You know, there was no verification of signatures in Georgia because of that consent decree between Raffenberger, the rhino Republican Secretary of State, and Stacey Abrams. And that consent decree is illegal because it wasn't agreed to by the legislature, Article 2.21 of the Constitution. So Kemp could approve that, but he can't do an edict about a forensic audit of all mail-in ballots to see if their signatures match that on the master, shall we say, ballot schedule, which under the consent decree didn't have to be and was not checked. So here is Kemp saying that, who has not called a special meeting of the legislature yet. These committee hearings are being done by the legislature on their own after hearing this evidence. So here's Kemp not calling a special session of the legislature to get this done, get a slate of electors out, you know, get this fixed before the January 5th Senate runoffs. Instead, he says the legislature has to do it, but he hasn't called to put the legislature, you know, on notice for a special session. I mean, it's all sleight of hand. I personally think Kemp is a crook. The worst of the crooks. At least you know what the Democrats are, because they tell you, they show you, their actions speak. Kemp pretends to be a Republican. Instead, he's an on-the-take from the CCP Rhino. And Raffenberger certainly is. All sorts of things have come to light in the last week about the audit folks that audited Dominion having a business relationship with Dominion prior to the audit. About how Dominion got public financing and Tier 1 financing through a company that was financed by Communist China. The routes remain clear, but there's now another route, folks. I went over these with you before. They haven't changed. You could get any combination of states which together have 36 or more electoral votes to send their own slate of electors, in which case you'd have a 270-270 tie. You could get all these states to send their own slate of electors, in which case Trump would win in the Electoral College. Or the Electoral College could basically disintegrate and not be able to agree on a vote or the slate of electors from each state because, you know, the will of the people is being subverted. You know, all that nonsense, that cloak. The will of the machines is being thwarted. The will of Communist China is being thwarted. The will of the people has already been thwarted. We're trying to unthwart it. And in any case that the Electoral College breaks down or the Electoral College cannot come to 270 for either candidate, it goes to Congress. In which case Congress votes by delegation, 37 red states and 13 blue states. And then the third route, which I talked about, was the Supreme Court throwing out en masse all sorts of ballots, like the 682,000 ballots that were done, number one, under no supervision, Republican supervision, that were done on an unequal basis, certain advantages be given to the Democrats, the same advantages not be given to Republican precincts. I went over that with you the last 2 weeks also. And, of course, the fact that all those ballots were sent out and received and counted and, quote, unquote, verified, i.e. not verified, pursuant to bureaucratic edict when only the legislature can do it. The Supreme Court could throw out hundreds of thousands of ballots in three or four states, which would obviously tip the election. But now there's a fourth option. Given this raid on the CIA server farm, this black ops site, and it seems, I have from a bunch of sources now, I have not been able to verify it myself, that this was not a friendly deal. There were a number of U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers killed. There were CIA operatives killed. CIA black ops people that were flown in to protect the facility 24 to 48 hours before, probably based on leakage by some deep state mole. There's rumors that I can't confirm, although it's very interesting. If you Google up Gina Haspel, H-A-S-P-E-L, right, the head of the CIA, try Googling up, you know, like, what did Gina Haspel do today? Zero. There's nothing on the web. And there's rumors that she was at that server farm, that she was wounded in the firefight, and that she was flown in what's called a rendition flight, which is a flight on which you are, shall we say, toughly interrogated to Gitmo. And there's rumors that she's now dead. And it's on more than one site and more than one source. And international sources, UK, Australia, some Canadian sources. You know, there's things in the United States that just don't get out. There's news that ain't printed. And sometimes foreign sites, like the Israeli Mossad, who influences certain papers in Israel, is a, shall we say, a much better bellwether of news than our, than is the corrupt press in the United States. And there's also some talk, and General Flynn, who seems to be in the thick of the DOD stuff now that he's been pardoned, and General McInerney, who brought the hammer and scorecard CIA vote switching software to our attention a week before the election, and who know each other, by the way, and have great respect for one another. I mean, these are top-ranking folks. Well, McInerney is retired. They're calling for Trump to institute martial law and arrest what would come to thousands of people who have committed treason, because the tampering with this election is treason, folks. This is not just voter fraud. This is not just election fraud. This is high treason. There are even rumors floating around, which I definitely have not substantiated, which I don't think are true, that Obama was arrested. He should be. Maybe one day, one sweet day, he will be. But I don't think that's occurred now. But there's enough dots. There's enough sources. There's enough common sense cooperation, i.e., Google Gina Haspel. What did Gina Haspel do today, or yesterday, or the day before? Zero. Nada. Nothing. Kind of odd. So, my point is, there is a Fourth Avenue. Now, I don't know if Trump will invoke martial law. We have it on good authority. I have eyewitness accounts, firsthand eyewitness accounts that I've talked to about the movement of troops and equipment throughout the United States from the Northwest into the central parts of the states. I mean, that's definitely occurred. Some of that's been covered by the quote-unquote, the Army's going to dispense the vaccine. I don't think so. There's a million outfits that can dispense the vaccine. I don't think you have to tie up military troops to do that. But what a great cover. Will Trump do it? Will he take that step to save the Republic? I don't know. Is that step even being seriously contemplated? Apparently it is. Because you have some pretty high-ranking dudes who are in the know talking about it. And there is an awful lot of story, awful lot of news and story in the back channels about mass arrests of deep state operatives. And if you Google up Gitmo, you'll get some, you know, you won't get specifics, but you'll get, you know, that it's full. How did Gitmo get filled up? Did they get a bunch of terrorists over in the Mideast that we didn't know about and fly them back to Gitmo? Or is there really something going on behind the scenes? Is there basically an overt war between the DOD and the forces loyal to the government in the conversation and those that are not? This is not outside the realm of possibility. I just can't tell you if it's true. It's my job to bring you, in this case, a strong but unsubstantiated rumor, or should we say series of rumors that seem to tie in. I don't know. I think we'll know a lot more in the next week. Because whatever's going to play out needs to play out unless the Supreme Court plans to move back the dates. I don't know. I don't know what authority they would have. I just don't know. It's a place we've never been in a galaxy far, far away that many of you thought couldn't happen here. It's happening here. Which brings us back to what you can do about it. Number one, you can be prepared. You always put your own oxygen mask on first so that you can help others. I've talked about this incessantly over the last 3 or 4 years. I hope you have heeded. Number two, if you are in one of these swing states, Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, you need to just raise holy hell with your state legislatures in a professional way. Let them know that you want them to take immediate action to fix this mess, which I might add, their incompetence, ineptitude, and lack of attention has created, not to mention the serious boost given to it by either rhino Republicans like Kemp or dyed-in-the-wool Democratic communists by Wolf and others. Wolf, by the way, is Pennsylvania, and Whitmer in Michigan, and Rhino Dulcy in Arizona. I mean, you go right down the list. You need to raise holy hell. You need to tell them they need to fix it. They need to come up with a slate of electors. They need to stop. This is why I want you to watch this summation in Michigan as these senators talk kind of behind the scenes following the hearings. You know, only in a rare instance do you see real courage by one of these senators saying, we need to do this now. The rest is, you know, a bunch of platitudes thanking one another for attending the hearing and we really need to do something, but I don't know what. And, you know, we don't want to disenfranchise. I mean, really? We're past that point, folks. I mean, I don't know what these guys think is going to happen to them if this all comes down, but they won't like it. They won't like what the left does to them. And then you need to send money. Go to the politics section on the right side, or the campaign sites for Loeffler, Kelly Loeffler, or David Perdue. Do the five, or the National Republican Senatorial Committee, that's NRSC, and give some money, particularly on those 5 and 6 sets matches where you really get some bang for your buck. And go to the Trump contribution ports, 10x match. That's the money that's funding all this massive legal struggle that's going on basically throughout the country. Put your money where your mouth is. Along these lines, maybe to prompt you a little bit, I told you about reparations 5 years ago and everybody poo-pooed me, can't happen here. Well, obviously reparations are a topic of discussion. It's been passed in several cities. California, I think the bill is written. And we have reports now, and these are substantiated reports, including police reports, of a bunch of folks which call themselves the Black Moors. I won't go into their philosophical ramblings, which is they predate everybody, including the Indians, and therefore it's all theirs. But they've been going to usually affluent neighborhoods in a number of states, but particularly in the Northwest, knocking on people's doors and telling them to leave their homes because they own the homes. Some of them even have faked quick claim deeds and who knows what. And this, folks, is the first ugly head of reparations. The property side of reparations. Just ask the poor folks in South Africa what it feels like and how it looks. I did several shows on it. Type in South Africa in your search bar. Listen to those shows. You might want to send some dough to Loeffler, Perdue, and Trump. And you might want to raise hell with these state legislatures if you're in those six states. And if you're not in those six states, you probably know somebody who is in those six states. You might want to get in the horn and make sure they're doing something. There's no tomorrow on this. Today is December 5th. 3 days from now is the safe harbor date. 9 days from now is the Electoral College. May I suggest you stop thinking about it and start doing it? That's my show for today. I've given you a general update on where things are at. Where they'll be at within an hour after you hearing the show, I can't tell you. But I can tell you a fourth route seems to be out there. Although, you know, I mean, it would be kind of mind-blowing. But isn't the whole situation mind-blowing anyway? And I personally, by the way, because I know some of you will ask, I wouldn't have a problem with it at all. Desperate times call for desperate measures. Saving the Republic is paramount. Protecting the Constitution is paramount. You know, it's almost like you may have to, I wouldn't call it break the Constitution, but stretch it a bit. Because the president has the power to declare martial law. He has the power under martial law and Emergency Powers Act, all of which, by the way, this has all happened under. Remember his EO, his executive order in September of 2018. We talked about it last week. I mean, all the legal basis is there to get this done. If he decides to go that momentous route, and I don't have a problem with it. So long as the election is redone without machines, on the same day, no mail-in ballots, counted in the full light of day, not in the dark of night out of suitcases when everybody else has gone home. Because I've kind of had it with all that stuff. And you know, I think that a great majority of my audience has too. And no, it's not time for Concord or Lexington yet. But it is time, and has long been time, for you to do everything you can. Those calls, the calls to your friends in those states, the calls, if you're in those states, to your legislatures, and send some money to Loeffler and Perdue and Trump. And stand up, folks. Stand up. It's time. This is it. It's crunch time. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Next week, I'm going to talk about my very interesting trip to Fort Worth and the pro rodeo signing books and the many, 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 many people I am talking to and what their impression is of the election. And, you know, it's always great to get that perspective, which I've kind of missed over the last year. I think you'll be fascinated because I've been taking notes. You folks have a great week. Go USA.
Please remember, if you've missed any shows, just click on Show Archive and you'll find all of his shows. We look forward to seeing you here again next week for another episode of Re Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side.